Although the conventional wisdom is that invasive species are terrible scourges that must be eradicated at all costs, bad, 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 it's perfectly reasonable to debate whether the costs of continued control is worth it, particularly since eradication, especially of well-established invasives, is so very unlikely, or whether it's simply a futile, unwinnable battle that's consuming resources that would be better spent elsewhere. Well, no matter where you fall on this issue, we really should not dismiss the benefits that some non-native and even invasive species can provide. It's worth considering some of these benefits in cost-benefit analyses of control and management of invasive species. So here's a list of just a few benefits compiled from a variety of sources. First off, invasive and non-native species can provide a food source. It's known that many species of native birds eat the fruit of European honeysuckle and autumn olive. And since some of these species can fruit pretty late in the season, that source of food can be important during migration. We also know that native bees forage on non-native plants. Secondly, invasive species can support recovery of endangered species. A study out of Colorado found that endangered willow flycatchers have equal nesting success in stands of invasive tamarisk as they do in native willow trees that are not as common. So actually, the tamarisk can support the recovery of that bird. Third, invasive species can act as functional substitutes for extinct taxa. So many Hawaiian birds have gone extinct, for a variety of reasons, but being on islands hasn't helped. Deforestation, habitat loss has really affected them. But introduced birds in Hawaii have fulfilled the role of pollinating native plants where the native birds have gone extinct. Fourth, some invasive species can be used in replenishing or reclaiming areas that have been damaged by humans. So these could be mine sites or polluted areas. Some non-natives in particular are especially adapted to, you know, poor quality soil or polluted areas and can more quickly recover those sites than native species. And fifth, non-native species can act as functional surrogates during restoration, especially when native species have become poorly adapted to the new conditions that they're found in, perhaps due to climate change or other human disturbances, edge effects, and others. So some native species or genotypes of native species could be in decline due to climate change. So restoring land with them is sort of setting up a losing proposition, whereas if we can use some non-natives that may be able to fill the same role in the ecosystem but thrive under the current conditions and potentially in the future conditions, that restoration may be more successful. So these are all debatable, but the benefits are there, and I guess the question remains, you know, what's the balance between the potential utility of non-natives under certain conditions and then the negative impacts that they have on natural communities and ecosystems.